I'm going to read from the Epistle to the Hebrews, and towards the end of chapter 11, that's verse 33, and then to chapter 12, and the first three verses there. Now, this is describing those who have believed in Jesus Christ, men and women of faith. So that's the key to this passage. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, that reading is about the men and women of the Old Testament and the New, whose faith was in God, and they're all gathered together in the merits of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And the writer there describes life as a race, and in this race we can only run well if we are looking unto Jesus. We have believed in him, and we believe that Jesus Christ is the author of faith and the finisher of faith. That is, that faith one day will turn into sight, and we are able to trust him and to know we are forgiven, because in those verses also it describes the cross. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that is, the joy of our salvation, endured the cross for our sakes, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I'd like us to think of a hymn. It may not be a very well-known hymn, but it is extremely sensitive and beautiful. We haven't got an author here. We only have the word anonymous. So some believer somewhere wrote these beautiful words. And the desire is to see the face of God, or see the face of Jesus. Now, I think we should understand what we mean by this. He's not asking suddenly to have a vision and see the radiance of God in this life. We wouldn't be able to bear it. But to have that sight of God through faith. And this is how he puts it. Show me thy face. One transient gleam of loveliness divine. Now, if I get that, just a glimpse in my mind's eye, just a glimpse in the depths of my soul, show me thy face, one transient gleam of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other love save thine. Now, that's a very wonderful thing to be able to say. Are you able to say that? That you love him so much, and he has displayed his love to you in Jesus Christ, that nothing anymore is going to distract you, that you'll not give your heart to any other. Your heart is given to God. Your heart is given to Jesus. And I shall never think or dream of other love save thine. Then he goes to lights. Anything that is beautiful or anything that is noteworthy, all lesser light will darken quite. Everything seems pale and insignificant in the light of God. All lesser lights will darken quite. All lower glories wane. The beautiful of earth, and there are beautiful things on earth, the beautiful of earth will scarce seem beautiful again. And the reason for that is simply this, because we have seen something of the beauty of God, and we are in love with him, and our hearts are captivated by him. Now, is that your experience? If not, make it. Think about it now. You know, we can be disappointed in ourselves. We can be disappointed in friends and in people. It does happen, especially with ourselves. But you will never be disappointed in God. He goes on to say, or she goes on to say, I don't know which, show me thy face. My faith and love shall henceforth fixed be. That is, my faith and my love is going to be nailed to Jesus. I'm not going to be distracted by anything else at all. And nothing here have power to move my soul's serenity. Now, do you see what he's saying? Because I've come to Jesus, I have a serenity and a peace and a calmness in my soul I never had before. And whatever my lot may be, there is this lovely sense of peace with God. Not only peace with God because I belong to him and my sins are forgiven, but the peace of God in my heart and in my mind. And nothing here have power to move my soul's serenity. Not even Satan will be allowed to take it away. Then he thinks of this life, such a brief life. My life shall seem a trance, a dream, and all I feel and see, illusive, visionary, thou the one reality. To those who don't believe in Jesus, this life really is all the comfort they have. And so that becomes very definite and real to them. Well, it's real to us as well, but we are comparing it with a greater life. And it is in this comparison that we're able to say that it is illusive, visionary, and thou the one reality. Now, is he as real as that to you? Think about that now. If he is as real as that to you, then you're able to say the same, you know. Everything else is really elusive or visionary. And the only real thing is our relationship with God and our walk with God. If you're not there yet, well, ask him and invite him into your heart. He goes on, show me thy face. I shall forget the weary days of yore. The fretting ghost of vain regrets shall haunt my soul no more. How very true. Once we come to Jesus, the weary days that we deplore now, things that we remember, things that we said we wish we never said, things we've done we wish we'd never had done them. The weary days of vain regrets, fretting ghosts of vain regrets, they're not going to haunt my soul anymore because we have been immersed in the mercy of God and the blood of Christ. Show me thy face, I shall forget the weary days of yore. The fretting ghost of vain regret shall haunt my soul no more. So Versa puts it like this, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are ahead of us. All doubts and fears for future years. You don't need to fear the future. What will it be like? Will I be able to manage? All doubts and fears for future years in quiet rest subside. You're resting in Jesus. You need not fear. Sometimes we fear an illness, or we may fear death itself. But if we are the Lord and we have believed in him, we can rest in him, and there is no need to fear. Perfect love casteth out fear. And naught but blessed content and calm within my breast abide. Have you got that calmness and contentment? Show me thy face. Now then, this is a very wonderful statement. There is really only one cross, and that's the cross of Jesus. It's unique. And that penalty paid on that cross belonged to him alone for our sakes. But when we talk of carrying our cross, we mean the suffering that we perform, that we go through for Jesus. And sometimes we suffer a great deal, maybe in some places even persecution and martyrdom. Show me thy face, the heaviest cross will then seem light to bear. When I'm looking at Jesus, all these other things will seem light. There will be gain in every loss and peace with every care. With such light feet, the years will fleet. Life seems as brief as blessed, till I have laid my burden down and entered into rest. Look at the confidence there. Time seems to fly when you belong to him. Burdens seem light when you belong to him. And soon, soon, we are forever with the Lord And that is our aim, that our great object, to be with him in glory forever. Now let us pray. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in the name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. And that wonderful thought of seeing thy face, even with the eye of faith. But one day, O Lord, it will not be with the eye of faith. It will be with reality, for we shall be in the presence of God. And we shall look upon the loveliness of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and enjoy thee forever. And we know, according to those lovely confessions of faith that we have, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And we enjoy thee now, Lord, and we joy in God, because we know that we are safe in the arms of Jesus. But oh, what joy there is to come. Joy without measure, peace without measure, love without measure, to be in the presence of God. No wonder the writer here has a longing and a yearning right through the hymn. He's satisfied in Christ, even here. He's asking for more of the loveliness of Christ to be shed upon him, that he might be immersed in the beauty of Jesus. Show me thy face, one transient gleam of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other loves of thine. Where is our love? O Lord, make it that our love shall be directed towards thee, and that it might be a very special love, a love that we receive from thee to give back to thee, a love divine. Hear us for thy name's sake. Amen.